What a glorious sound as we go into prayer. Gracious and holy God, it's your arms that we can lean on totally for all that we need in this life, and we just praise you and thank you for that. And God, as we hear these words of this the message this day and this words that have been sung this day, may they inspire us to courageously move closer to you in all the ways that we can in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm excited because this is Baptism Sunday. And Baptism Sunday is it's one of the two sacraments that we practice in the United Methodist Church. And it's just a special time in the growth and the faith and discipleship of this church and of all persons who make the commitments to baptism. We regularly baptize every month in one of the worship services, but we set aside a Baptism Sunday to, yes, continue to baptize, but today we also want to emphasize the opportunity to reaffirm your baptism. Many of you may be like me. I was baptized as an infant and don't remember that, and it's been a great opportunity in my life to have times when I've paused and reaffirmed the baptism commitment that was made for me by my parents. So that's what we want to be about today, is exploring today the questions about baptism, so we have an understanding of what baptism is. Mike and I have always feel very honored when we meet with absolutely every candidate before they're baptized, sit down with them for a period of time, and just talk about what it means to be baptized, most especially also because all of us come from a different, oftentimes different understandings of what baptism is and what it isn't, and that varies even from denomination to denomination. So it's good to stop periodically and to be reminded what we understand baptism to be about as Methodists. And I always think it's good to ask questions, so I want to share with you a very short video clip where I feel a young man asks some very good questions about baptism.
Jesus is baptized at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his time on earth, he tells his followers that every believer should have an experience like that in their journey. Now, I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but my journey hasn't always lived up to that moment. I've wandered, I've doubted, and sometimes I've just rebelled against God. So it begs the question, what was my baptism for? Was it inauthentic? Was it a poor attempt at an empty ritual? Or a rite of passage that didn't stick? What's the point of a moment like that if our journey will still have its struggles? I mean, what is baptism, and why does it matter so much to Jesus?
All very good questions as we talk about baptism. What is baptism, and why does it matter so much to Jesus? And as we explore those questions and talk about the information and understanding of baptism today, I'd like to share with you that I am a proponent for both baptism by immersion and baptism by sprinkling, because I think that, well, first of all, both of them are theologically sound as we understand baptism, but I also, for myself, I glean and see something, a different visual from each one of those, and I'll share with you today a bit about that. So as we begin this conversation about baptism today, I'm going to have us turn to Scripture. As we look at Romans 6, I'll be reading verses 3 through 11 today. Or don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And I'm going to pause here before I read the next verses. For me, those verses powerfully paint a picture for us that there is a direct connection of baptism with the cross. We can never talk about baptism without talking about and understanding the place of the cross in our life. In baptism, we are remembering that we are baptized into that death of Christ, and that there is a resurrection. Just as there was a resurrection of Christ, there is a resurrection in our own hearts and our own lives. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. The visual of immersion for me is a great and a beautiful picture of what we just heard read. As you remember, the Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And while we hear that scripture, we're reminded again and again, baptism first is about Christ. And the very first scripture verse I just read, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Right from the beginning, Paul connects us with the fact that our baptism is all about Christ. We can't talk about baptism without talking about the cross. Otherwise, it would be heresy, because otherwise what would happen is we would begin to talk about things that we do. And it's first and foremost nothing about what we do. It is first and foremost about Christ, what Christ has done for us. I think that Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 helps to make that connection a little more clearly than we read in Romans 6. So I want to read you that scripture. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And there in that letter to Colossians, Paul emphasizes that, yes, there's this burial into baptism, and we'll be raised, but how does it happen for us? Christ did what he needed to do. Christ did what God wanted him to do, but it only makes a connection with us through faith. That we need to connect with that information. We need to accept and acknowledge that, so that indeed when we're baptized, we make that connection or making a statement of faith. So therefore, you cannot be baptized, you cannot be a Christian, unless you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we state that often in the church. Anytime we read through or share in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, that's exactly what we're saying, the exact same statement of faith. I am a believer because, and that's exactly what we're saying. But how was it that it was decided that there would be a baptism? And how was it decided what all this would mean? And the answer is, it all goes back to God. It was all a part of God's plan for us. God had decided and God had planned that there would be a baptism. And so he called John the Baptist into ministry, as we heard read in Scripture earlier today. John the Baptist was called into ministry, as he would often say, I'm preparing the way. I'm not the fulfillment. I'm preparing the way. And yeah, I'm baptizing, but I'm baptizing with water, one who will come after me who will baptize with the Spirit. I'm preparing the way. I was called. This was my ministry, is to prepare that way for the one who would come, who would fulfill. And then eventually, as Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and at that time when the Holy Spirit descended upon him, that all became the work of the Trinity, all three in one, and at that time it was all revealed to us. How God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, was present, and how he would continue to work in our lives and through our lives. But remember Paul's word, it also takes, it's through faith that happens within our lives. Baptism used to be not so easy a moment, if you will. We come to church and we schedule baptism and we practice and we experience those moments. And we probably go home, and many persons probably go home and have a wonderful meal, maybe with families and friends. But it's not always been that way for all persons in history. Early in the year following the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, persons who made that commitment to convert and were baptized, to them it also potentially would mean a death threat upon their lives, because there were certainly people in the culture who didn't want this new movement, the way, to be spreading, so they were worried about it. And so oftentimes persons were even hurt or killed because of their baptism. There's a missionary in the Philippines. And he shares that that was the case with many persons there that he found. As he said, in the Philippines, converts were tolerated and scarcely noticed by their family until they became baptized. Then the biblical predictions came to pass. There's something about this open ritual of newfound faith that makes clear where a person stands and what he is doing. And in other words, when a person identified Christ publicly and openly, people began to get upset. And they didn't mind because it was like they were talking the talk. But suddenly when they were baptized, it meant that they were beginning to walk the walk. And then the community around them became very, very uncomfortable. Uncomfortable because what that act of baptism said is, you know, we're buried with him through baptism into death, and then just as Christ was raised from the dead, those who are raised to live a life of fullness for Christ. And that's why we sing He Lives today. Because that's, again, what all the baptism is about. It's because of what Christ has done. And so now we come out of those waters and we're baptized new. Water is a powerful symbol, as AJ shared how essential it was in the life of a fish. And we do focus on water in many, many different ways. I was thinking about water earlier this week and thought about the effect it has as an example for us. This next week on Wednesday night, I'll have a meeting, if anyone's interested, as we prepare for a trip to the Holy Land in November of 2017, and I'll have information about that. But I've led several trips over there and heading out again, and I can still remember my first trip expecting fully when I went over there to see plenty of deserts, plenty of dry land, plenty of arid and all of that, and did indeed see that. But I was so surprised when it came time for meals, because the fresh fruits and vegetables at breakfast, lunch, and dinner were always plentiful. They were beautiful fruits and vegetables, and they were such flavorful fruits and vegetables. I think we have the best tomatoes, Indiana tomatoes here. I'm telling you, Israel tomatoes are just right up there too. And so as I'm seeing all this desert and seeing this wonderful produce, I just make an assumption that it's shipped in. But in the midst of that trip, what I learned was that was not necessarily true. As the nation over the years had studied ways that they could practice irrigation and other practices, building greenhouses and et cetera, so that they could produce themselves these fruits and vegetables. And so it was a reminder, as a physical effect, what a difference water made in the production of fruits and vegetables. Reminds me of the difference in a different way water makes, a spiritual effect in our lives as we practice baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13 reminds us that in the midst of all this entire experience is the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit, as a reminder that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. The cross is not just Christ's personal individual cross, but it's a corporate cross that includes you and it includes me. And it's a symbol of this new order that we'll live. The old order is gone, and the new order is ahead of us. The baptism points backwards, and it points forward. And I think that's beautifully what, when we talk about immersion, how that becomes a visual of that message. Now, immersion is not the only way that as Methodists we baptize. We also baptize our infants. And again, for me, a very beautiful visual and statement about baptism. And it makes a statement fully about God's grace. Because I know that there's nothing that infant can do to earn or to ask for that baptism. I know that. I also know that there's nothing that's sinful necessarily that this infant has done. So that baptism of an infant for me points me totally to the fact that it is all about God's grace. Baptism is all about God's grace. It's nothing about us humanly. It's first God. We simply respond. God's grace that created us, God's grace that loved humanity, sent his Son, God's grace that will still be with us through the Holy Spirit, and God's grace that will be with work within us as a community. That infant baptism is a beautiful picture of God's grace. And finally, as Methodists, we don't believe in rebaptizing. And there are many denominations that will baptize a person over and over and over. But for me, what that speaks to is, again, if I look at God's grace, to baptize over and over, to me says that's cheap grace. It's cheap grace because baptism is all about God first. It's about what God does. God does everything right the first time, does not need to redo the baptism. That's something about us. So it takes the impact of baptism away from God, whereas it needs to remain with God always. God doesn't need a redo. But I do think that sometimes what we do need is we need to remember our baptism that perhaps happened earlier in our lives. We need to remember, but we don't need to rebaptize. We need to remember our baptism. Maybe you were baptized as an infant as I was, and I don't have any recall of that moment. To maybe feel that the specialness of that moment, I don't have any recall of that. And even I know following being baptized as an infant, I went through confirmation and made that commitment at that time for myself. But I'm going to tell you, 1 or 2 years have gone by since my confirmation. I don't know about you guys. But it's been a lot of years since I made that commitment. So maybe I just feel the need to reaffirm what I have stated about my belief in the past. Maybe you were baptized as an infant, and just maybe the visual of immersion speaks to you, and it speaks to your soul. And so maybe you just want to reaffirm your baptism in that way by being immersed. Maybe your path in life has taken you so far away from the path that God would desire for your life. You just traveled so far right or so far left, and you just know you're not off track, and maybe it's just time to reaffirm and get back on track. So maybe it's time to reaffirm your baptism, just to allow yourself to be back on track and unleashing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So the call to today is to those who have not been baptized to commit and to grow. And the call is also to the baptized community to say, do you remember when you were baptized? And do you want to reaffirm that, to remember that? The Apostle Paul talked to us was explained in Scripture in the book of Acts about that importance and that moment that needed to occur in his life of baptism. Paul was the gentleman who had been so anti-Christians, advocating the killing of all Christians. That was when he was Saul, made a conversion to Paul. And then God sent him to a village for a time because God knew that he needed time with some other Christians so that he could grow in his faith and understand what had just happened to him. And that's when we began to call him Paul. And God called Ananias to be there in that village to talk to Paul about what he needed to do to be growing in his faith. And in Scripture it says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Baptism was a part of that moment of his conversion when the old was gone and he had before him a new life and his life was changed. So are you here today to commit or to recommit? That's what the question of Scripture is for us. Will you watch with me a further explanation of this question on this video clip?
Now, baptism for Jesus doesn't just look back to the Exodus. It looks forward too, because our deliverance didn't happen at the Red Sea with Moses' arms extended. It happened at the cross with Jesus' arms outstretched. We weren't rescued from Pharaoh's army, and we've been saved from the slavery of sin. It's not the waters that cleanse us, but they symbolize a life that has gone to the cross with Jesus and come up from the grave with a new identity of freedom in Him.
As we're going to have moments when we're tempted to believe that we're the old us instead of the new us. You're going to have voices screaming at you that say that you're not holy, you don't belong to Him, you aren't loved. But you and I are given a moment to step into the waters, to feel grace wash over us from head to toe. Jesus says, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Your sins may seem to pursue you, but they've been drowned in the blood of Christ shed at the cross. We've been renamed, reclaimed by Jesus. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. We are children of God. Engage in a defiant act of protest against the voices of shame that chase you and tell the world that you belong to Him.
Reaffirm my baptism in the Jordan River by being immersed there. And so today you have an opportunity to, one, if you've not been baptized and you desire to be baptized today, that we have our immersion pool outside. We also have our baptismal font outside. And Mike and I will be outside as an opportunity extension of this morning's worship service that you may go out there and you may be baptized. It's also an opportunity this day that you may reaffirm your baptism, whether by sprinkling or if you choose to be immersed. This may be a day that you may recommit in your faith to Jesus Christ in your journey as to what you understand baptism to be and what you want it to be in your life. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this community of faith that we may unite with the message of the cross as our personal life mission statement. Bless the waters of baptism and the waters of reaffirmation that we have before us this day. And through those waters, may we understand the gift of the cross, what Christ has done for us, and that we have an opportunity to die with what needs to be ended and to rise from those waters, resurrected and cleaned and ready to live for Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.